Good afternoon, St. Rayfield. This is Father John. Happy to be back with you for this podcast or this recording. And my topic for today that I'd like to talk about is entitled Desire and Prayer. It's really taken from a conversation that I had late last week with a parishioner. She was telling me, you know, how much she was missing Holy Communion and missing being able to go to Mass in person and these sorts of things. And these are definitely, you know, as I talked about in the daily reflection for April 1st, these are very big crosses that the Lord is asking for us under obedience. And we know that the Lord is going to reward that. But we might be wondering a little bit of how God is going to be doing that, or what God is doing in this moment. And it really kind of goes back to prayer, and it goes back to desire. So let's kind of set the stage here a little bit by talking about what is prayer. And my favorite definition of prayer comes to us from a Jesuit by the name of Armand Nigro. And he says that prayer is a personal response to God's loving presence. Let me say that again. Prayer is a personal response to God's loving presence. And the word that I want to really focus on there right now is the word response. It's the key word in that definition. And response is so key because it reframes the whole conversation around prayer. Prayer is not about me necessarily. It's not me trying to get God's attention. It's not about me waving my arms or saying long prayers, trying to get God to notice me. Instead, I'm responding to God's presence. So God is already there. God is already attentive to me. It's me opening myself up so that I may be able to allow God in. So who is the one who is the first actor in prayer? It's not necessarily me. It's actually God. God is the first actor. And that's something that is made so clear right now because of this pandemic, is that all these ways that we are used to receiving God, be that through Holy Communion or going to Mass, or maybe it's praying perpetual help devotions once a week on Tuesday mornings, or it's praying the rosary, or it's through Eucharistic adoration. So many of these things now have just been shut off to us. And we are starting to feel that a little bit of not having these different ways that we normally receive God and that we normally pray to Him. And because we don't have these things anymore, we are starting to feel a little bit less control. We don't feel like that we're in control anymore as we would like to be. And that's actually a really good thing, because it really brings home to us that I'm not in control, and I'm not in control of my prayer life. Who is in control? God is in control of my prayer life. So now I'm beginning to move a little bit spiritually a couple weeks in, and I'm starting to realize God is the main one who's acting in my prayer. And not only that, but now there's something developing inside of me. And that's a little bit of desire. It's a little bit of hunger. It's a little bit of thirst. All these words mean basically the same thing: desire, hunger, thirst. I desire God. I'm hungering for Him. I'm thirsting for Him. And that's unusual. That's unusual for me. That's unusual for us as Americans. Let's just start there. We're not used to having to hunger and thirst. We live in a land of plenty. If we're hungry, we go to the fridge or we pop some popcorn. We are hungry and we respond. We are thirsty. We go to the fridge. We get a soda. We get a water. We get some water out of the tap. We are able to satisfy those desires right away. And it's the same way in faith. You know, I'm hungry at the end of the week. I go to Mass. I receive communion. I'm hungry at the end of the day. You know, I always do this. I always do that. Now all of a sudden I can't, or it looks different. And we kind of think, boy, this is a bad thing. This is a bad thing. And actually, it's really a good thing. And I know it's hard to believe that I'm hungry and thirsty and desiring for God, and I don't feel God is close to me in all those ways that I usually get to God, that they've been taken away. And Father, you're telling me that that's good. And I'm saying, yes, it is. I'm saying this on good authority. Our Pope Emeritus, Pope Benedict XVI, wrote about this in his encyclical Spe Salvi, which means saved by hope. And he makes this great observation in there. He says, we are created to receive God. Think about that for a minute. The whole reason why we were created, you know, for those who remember the Baltimore Catechism, is to love, praise, and serve God in this life and be happy with Him in the next. We're only created with that purpose, and that purpose is to receive our God, to receive our Lord. But the problem is our heart is too small. It's too small because of sin. It's too small because we have other desires there. It's too small because we struggle with pride and we think that we're in control. There's so many different reasons why we sometimes struggle with this whole idea of receiving God into our hearts because our hearts are too small. How do we make that heart bigger? How do we make our heart to the point that we can receive God? How do we stretch it out? It's through desire. Desire helps to stretch our heart. When we feel that desire, that's actually a good thing because our heart is beginning to expand. That place where God is supposed to be is empty, and it's actually starting to expand a little bit. We're becoming aware of it, and it's beginning to expand. And this quote by the Holy Father illustrates this. He says, by delaying his gift, God strengthens our desire. By delaying, God strengthens our desire. Through desire, he enlarges our soul. And by expanding it, he increases our capacity for him. So this desire is actually a really good thing, according to Pope Benedict, is that he's saying is that when we feel this desire and we allow this desire to be conscious in us and we're aware of it, that's a really good thing because our capacity to receive God is then able to start growing. How can we think about this? Well, think about this as after the holidays. Once you're done with the holidays, maybe we've been off our diet for a little while. We've been eating all the cake and the cookies and the cheesecakes and the brownies and all the rich food. And we've been doing that for, you know, a couple weeks there, 2, 3, 4 weeks, just depending on how much we celebrate our Christmas season. And we decide that, you know, I want to go on a diet. You know what? I've been, you know, really bad this holiday season. I put on a couple extra pounds. I need to really get on a diet. So I begin to eat healthy, have more salads, carrots, apples, this sort of thing. I'm not eating the sweets as much, this sort of thing. But I find that my body is still craving this. My body still wants the brownies and the cookies and the rich food, and I'm sitting there saying I have an apple and I really don't want this. It's kind of that whole same thing with our desire right now and our desire causing it to grow. That I have to choose this apple instead of the things that I want. Now, there is a difference here. This is where the analogy kind of doesn't make sense to us because you're saying, now, wait a minute, Father. Brownies and cookies aren't really good for us. They're treats, and carrots and apples are really good for us. So what are you really talking about here? Are you saying that God's graces are not good for us? No, I'm not saying that at all. Are we saying that Holy Communion is bad for us? No, I'm not. I'm talking about the fruit of the reception, how we receive the sacraments, be they the Holy Communion, be they going to Mass, be they the public praying of the Rosary or Eucharistic Adoration, these sorts of things. It's how we receive them, which can be maybe not in the best way. What I mean by that is that our capacity for God is infinite. God is infinite, and our ability to receive him is infinite because our souls are able to receive him. And God has made our souls to be able to receive him. Now, we're always going to be a little bit bound because we're finite creatures, but we have such a desire. And we have such a capacity to receive, and we haven't even begun really to begin to tap into that desire and that potentiality to receive God. So God wants to deepen our experience of receiving him. He wants us to receive him on even a more deeper, a more profound way, and a fuller way than ever before. Maybe we kind of sit there now and we think about the best time we've gone to Mass or gone to communion, and we think, boy, that was so great and awesome and amazing, and I wish it could be like that every single time. Well, God wants to even go deeper with us. And that's amazing to believe. We're thinking, boy, that was really awesome that one or two times. And you say God wants to do more, and the answer is, yeah, God wants to do more. And it's through experiencing desire, it's through the hunger, it's through the thirst, and saying, God, I want you, that I'm starting to empty my heart out of those other things that aren't as good as God, those other graces that maybe I've settled for in the past, and saying, God, now I want something more. I want something deeper. I want something more than a good feeling. I want you. I want your presence in my life. That's so much greater and so much deeper. So that's what desire, hunger, thirst, all these words being the same thing. That's what this does for us in prayer right now. And it's so appropriate now during Lent that we are experiencing this, because what are we focusing on? We're focusing on Jesus on the cross. And Jesus says to us on the cross, I thirst. And of course, that thirst is interpreted as a desire for souls. God desires our souls. And not only that, but God desires that our souls be enlarged so that thirst be able to be filled. And we say back to God, God, our souls want you too. So we and our God are saying the exact same thing. And because God's thirst and our thirst are lining up, that God is going to be able to give himself to us and be able to satisfy that thirst. Yes, even now, he can do that. He can give himself to us so that thirst can be satisfied in us. And in the process, we are going to be satisfying the thirst of Christ, the thirst of Christ on the cross. And how we do that is through praying with our desire. How do we pray with desire? Well, first of all, we need to share our desire with the Lord. And we can do this, you know, whenever we begin to pray. But I would like to say, especially before we receive a spiritual communion, take a little bit of time and say, God, this is how much I miss receiving you in Holy Communion. Stir up that feeling inside of your soul. Stir up that feeling of, God, I wish I could see you in the Blessed Sacrament personally, not through a live stream. Being able to stir up that desire and then make that prayer. And know that God can powerfully respond to that desire, to that thirst right there. Allow our prayer to become more simple. You know, maybe we're used to praying a lot of different prayers and devotions. And right now we just feel this desire. And we're just kind of like, well, I got to pray more. And trying to find more words to fill up this silence, this void I feel inside of me. Resist that temptation. Just be there with the Lord in that desire. Not saying totally stop your devotions, not to stop praying the rosary, these sorts of things, but be able to allow prayer become maybe a little bit more simple. And just being there with that desire and saying, Lord, come to me now. Come to me in my hunger. Come to me in my thirst. Come to me in this great want and need to receive you. Please come to me right here. And also to embrace this time with the virtue of humility. God is in charge. God is in charge of our whole world. God is in charge of our life. God is in charge of our spiritual life. And we may not feel like that we're making much progress right now, or that the progress doesn't make any sense and we don't understand this. God is in charge. Be okay with God being in charge in our life right now. That God is using this time well to build our desire for him, so that when he calls us back to Mass, that we can bring that desire to the Lord, that we can receive him in a new and more profound way and in a deepened way, and be more spiritually richer for it. May God bless you, and God bless our parish during this time, that we deepen our desire to receive the Lord. Amen.